Welcome to The Uncensored Pharmacist, where we're rewriting the prescription for health, one candid conversation at a time.
Join us as we delve into the holistic world of well-being, covering everything from the latest pharmacy insights to navigating health regulations and championing patient advocacy.
From in-depth discussions with experts to tips on navigating the pharmacy aisle, we're here to enlighten, educate, and engage.
So make sure to amplify your health journey by subscribing for weekly holistic health insights. Tune in, turn up the volume, and let's get started.
I'm Miranda.
And I'm Rachel. And we're the Uncensored Pharmacist.
Okay, everybody, welcome back. This is episode 6.
It is episode 6, and I think you're really going to like this topic.
Yeah, today we're going to talk about GLP-1 agonists. And if that doesn't mean anything to you, because why would that mean anything to you? The GLP-1 agonists are a popular type of medication that was designed and marketed probably 20 years ago was when the first one came out for type 2 diabetes. But in the last couple of years, they've become really popular for the management of obesity. So some of the ones that you're probably familiar with are Ozempic and Mounjaro, Wegovy, and then the newest version that's been approved by the FDA is the Zepbound, which is the weight loss version of Mounjaro. So we're going to talk about those today.
Yes, I think it's a hot topic. I mean, I see it all over the place. I see it on TikTok. I see little commercially things. I don't know if it was Facebook or Instagram the other day. I saw a little something, and I guess I wasn't shocked, but also, you know, I don't know. But yeah, it came out to be a diabetic medication, help lower your blood, you know, blood sugar. And then, like you said, it's recently been promoted for people that want to lose weight, and it's an injection. So a sub-Q injection that you have to give yourself. Now, when they first came out on the market, it was a daily injection, and now they've pushed it out to now it's a weekly injection. And I'm sure down the line, they'll find a way to make it a monthly injection.
Oh, yeah.
So stay tuned for that.
So these medications actually are synthetic versions or synthetic glucagon-like peptide 1 receptor agonists. So GLP-1 agonists, they mimic the behavior of glucagon-like peptide 1, which is released whenever we eat. But these medications are much stronger and they stick around a lot longer than our natural GLP-1 does. And so what they do is they increase the expression of glucose transporters. And so when insulin rises right after we eat, it sort of helps to suck up that glucose really quickly and lower the glucose quickly. They decrease inflammation. The natural ones decrease inflammation, they decrease oxidative stress, and they modulate lipids as well. And so we've seen that there are a lot of benefits of these GLP-1 medications because they can lower glucose quickly. We're being studied to see if we can use them for lipids. They've shown cardiovascular benefits as well. And they're really being touted kind of as a miracle drug right now. What I see in practice is that, first of all, we can't keep them in stock. Okay. Mm-hmm. We can't. I mean, it's like, I'm not going to say people are lined up out the door. They're not, but they're on the phone on hold. Did you get it in yet? Do you have it yet?
Yes.
Did it come in today? Because these medications have been on back order for months and months and months. So we've got people that are getting these medications that are taking them for weight loss. And it's a little bit controversial because there's a shortage of these medications. And so people who have diabetes, who need these medications to manage their diabetes, can't sometimes get them. And there was a time in medicine and pharmacy that we would consider the severity of a person's illness, and then medication would be pushed to the person that needs it the most. And we don't do that anymore. I mean, when we talk about equitable use of resources and medication, it really is first come, first serve. And when it's gone, it's gone. And so it's very different. There are a lot of people that really are upset and troubled about the fact that these medications have really been pushed more towards weight loss than use in diabetes. So I see that happening in practice. And I see a lot of people that are really opinionated about that.
I mean, I would not be one of those. Anyway, no. And as you're telling me, like, kind of laughingly, but that, you know, people are figuratively, you know, waiting in line, they're calling you. I'm like, God, you know, I really wish that people were this excited about making a change in their lifestyle, or, you know, making what something natural, or going for a walk or something. That's just, to me, it's sad that it takes a medication to get people this excited to maybe in the, you know, improve their health outcomes. And this is another thing where I feel my hope is that doctors are using some level of, well, I don't think this is really what you need to be doing. I think this is a little extreme for your situation. You maybe you're not even diabetic, but you want to lose 30 to 40 pounds. So I think what I'm always very aware of is, you know, I know that losing weight can be a very frustrating thing for people, but I also think, are we looking at, again, we've talked about with other medications, are we looking at long-term issues potentially? Like, yes, there's a lot of benefits to this potentially for people that are obese or grossly obese or having really, really major issues with their sugars. And this is something that, you know, life or death, like, you know, we've talked about in past episodes about medications that aren't meant to be used for long-term use, except for this really small select group of people. So I guess that's one thing that I'm like, could we really be a little more selective about who actually gets these medications?
I think that that's a really good point. But I think at this, where we are today in society, in terms of being selective, I think it would be considered discriminatory if we tried to be more selective. And I think that in people who've actually voiced that, people who've been really vocal about these medications being used for obesity, there's been a lot of body shaming and, you know, a lot of negative talk. So I don't see it going in that direction. I mean, I definitely think there needs to be some discernment in prescribers about who we're giving this to. Are we giving it to everybody? Like, if you need to lose 10 pounds, are we giving this to you? What we found in the studies is that people on these GLP-1 agonists can lose 10, 15, 20% of their body weight in a year. But when they stop taking the medication, they gain 3/4 of it back. And let me tell you my perspective on that. So yes, you have to make lifestyle changes. And when a person is on these medications, they're going to have a lot of side effects. They're going to have, and there's some severe side effects, which we can talk about later, but the immediate, like right now, side effects that most people are going to have because the medication works by slowing gut motility. You stay full. The food just kind of sits there. So you're not hungry again because the food's just kind of hanging out. So you are not, you just don't eat as much because you get full faster. You stay full longer. But there are some other things as well. One, because it helps our body to use the glucose quickly. Insulin levels drop quickly. So if you're a person who has insulin resistance and you have these sustained high levels of insulin, you're going to have a harder time losing weight. Because when we have these high sustained levels of insulin, our body, every time that we eat, our body takes that sugar and stores it as fat. That's what insulin tells our body to do. So when we have these high levels of insulin, even when we're eating super healthy, we still are going to have trouble losing weight. That's just part of insulin resistance. What's interesting, though, is that we didn't even use the term insulin resistance until these drugs started being used for weight loss. In practice, I can tell you, we would measure glucose levels and we would measure A1C levels in adults. Now, we would measure insulin levels in children in order to determine if we thought they had diabetes. Is it type 1 or is it type 2? We would measure insulin levels in kids. We didn't even measure that in adults. That is a process. I'm not going to say that we made up the diagnosis. Because the diagnosis existed, but we didn't treat it. We didn't treat insulin resistance. We never said to someone, hey, you have insulin resistance, before we had a drug that we could use to treat insulin resistance, which presents as difficulty in losing weight. Does that make sense? We have prediabetes.
Yeah.
So which is a sign of insulin resistance.
Yeah.
But prediabetes, we didn't treat with GLP-1 agonists. We treated it with lifestyle changes and metformin. But now we're jumping. We're not making lifestyle changes. We're not starting with metformin. We're starting with these GLP-1 agonists. And yes, they work quickly. Yes, people get these good results and they're able to stick with it. But let me tell you, these medications, when 6 months ago, it was $1,500 for a month's supply. Pharmacy orders it one box. It's $1,500 worth of inventory. The price has gone up. Last time I worked, it was $2,200 for a month's supply of these medications. Most people aren't paying cash. Most people are, if they're they'll either put it on their insurance and they'll have a coupon. Some people are paying as low as $40 or $50 a month. Some people are paying $400, $500 a month. But is that sustainable? Even if there weren't any side effects, can you really afford to pay $500 a month to be on this medication forever? Because if you have insulin resistance, even if you change your diet and you do the right things, if the problem really is insulin resistance, you're going to gain the weight back. Mm-hmm. We could switch to something like metformin. We could make some earlier interventions. We could reduce our sugar intake. Like, there are things that we could do, but it's like we just jumped from.
Yeah. Well, and that's the society we have now. It's that quantum leap of that easy. And I say easy button, and I'm a little like, I think about what I, you know, when I say that, I know that for people that are like, you know what though, it saves so-and-so's life, or, you know, and I get, and there's, again, there's that population that, you know, this is the answer for them. I just worry, and I worry about everyone taking it, honestly, because I'm like, is it sustainable? What happens when you go off of it? You know, you get that rebound weight gain back. And then I'm, you know, when you're losing weight so fast, you're not just losing fat, you're losing muscle, you're losing, you know, ligament, you're losing some structural weight. And that worries me, because that's down the line, slows down your metabolism if you're losing muscle. So there's just these long, I go long term. And so I'm wondering, like, you know, we talked about in our last episode about PPIs, like you can use them for this amount of time and you don't get X, Y, and Z side effects. Is there that window with these medications? I don't know if they've done any of that work or not, but I just feel like it's such a rush to get just everyone gets this medication. Like you said, we don't try metformin. We don't try like a first or second line therapy. Do we even look at modifications? You know, are we even looking at people that are borderline diabetic and saying, look, this is your opportunity right now? And I know we're in a society that most people don't want to change the way they eat, or they don't want to move their bodies more. But it's like, you know, are those conversations even, I don't know. Like, there's so many places that you're like, is this even happening? It just feels like so many things in our world right now, they're just going from A to Z, and nobody even looked at, you know, EFG, you know, whatever. So I think that's where I worry, is that we're setting a lot of people up for issues down the line. Because if we have shortages, if we have a, you know, if the price is going up $700 every 6 months or more, like, we're looking at something that's not sustainable for a huge population, but it's that instant gratification. We can give you a coupon, but are we communicating with these people, hey, this coupon is only good for your first three fills or whatever. And the first fill, it takes a lot off, but every time after that, it takes less and less and less off until the coupon's no longer working for you. Your insurance won't pay for it because you haven't tried. And I'm getting into a tangent, like, you know, working in retail, we see this like, oh, you need to try A, B, and C before they'll even look at D. Right. So I just think we're setting some people up for short-term success, but a long-term problems that we didn't forecast. So it's like, I know there's a population that this is a miracle for, but I, it's just, it's when I see it all over the place, like I am, and then it just worries me that so many people are looking at this as the savior for them. And I'm just like, I think as a society, we're taking away our power in some of these instances. Like, we can do this, you know, and there's always an area of our life that we're like, oh, I need someone else to validate me, or I need something else to structurally hold me up. We do it. We all do it in some area of our life. And so I know that was a little bit of a tangent, but I just want people that are listening to this to think, yeah, I would love to lose that 25 pounds in the next 2 months, and this could do it for me. But is it worth having problems after I get off the medication? Like, if you're just looking at this as a very short-term fix because you want to look good in your bathing suit on your spring break, I don't recommend it. Yeah. So,
I mean, it is a medication. It it is a chemical that we're injecting. And that's another, that's a whole another animal right there. And in people with type 2 diabetes who have, who are really having trouble getting their sugar well controlled, we can use this instead of insulin. A lot of people don't know that when we put someone on insulin, that automatically is going to make you gain weight. Insulin causes weight gain. So in a person who has type 2 diabetes, who's already overweight, we can do this instead of insulin, and it's going to make a huge difference in their managing their blood sugar and not gaining more weight and getting better control of their health. So there is a population of people where these medications really are like a miracle drug. But for somebody, like you said, that just wants to lose 25 pounds, this, let's go back to a couple of weeks ago, we talked about direct-to-consumer advertising. These drugs have been around for 20 years. And people have just now become aware. They didn't start causing weight loss 2 or 3 years ago. Byetta was out 20, maybe not 20 years ago, but close to 20 years ago.
Close.
It was the first GLP-1 agonist that was on the market. It was derived, I've mentioned this earlier, fun fact, it was actually derived from Gila Monster saliva. Okay, so the chemical inside of there, which behaves like a GLP-1, like human GLP-1. And so all these other products have been designed with that same molecular structure, and then they've been made to last longer. So the original ones were one injection a day. And so now we're doing one a week. That's so much more accessible to people who don't want to do an injection. The fact that doing an injection to lose 20 or 25 pounds is more appealing than going to the gym or making a dietary change is concerning. And I'm not saying, again, you know, there are people who have diabetes that need this medication and it has all these benefits. There are people that are obese and overweight who need this medication, who have done all the things and have not been able to hit their weight loss goals. But I think that mine and your concern is that the accessibility of this medication is that everybody everywhere has access to this. And yes, it's been around about 20 years. And so you can say, well, long term, it appears that in the diabetic population has been using it for 20 years, that the benefits outweigh the risk. We haven't studied it in a non-diabetic population for 20 years. And 20 years is still a relatively short period of time. While we haven't seen a lot of long-term issues with these medications in the, say, 20 years that they've been around, it doesn't mean that we're not going to see a problem at 40, 50 years. And not to, I'm not trying to scare anybody. I'm just saying, you know, just to be aware, we don't know. So what we do know is that the most common side effects with these medications are nausea, vomiting, decreased energy, just fatigue, and constipation. Those are the most common side effects. And I did some research. About 36 million people in America got prescriptions for GLP-1 agonists last year, but only about 50% of those people continued that medication. The majority of people don't stop because they can't get it. They can't afford it. The majority of people stop because of the side effects. And so everybody is out there talking about, well, this helped me lose this much weight and I feel so much better and this is how it looked. And they're showing their before and after pictures. But if you go into the forums and you go into the Facebook groups, there are entire groups that are dedicated to people sharing how they managed to get through the side effects because the side effects were so bad. Wow. And then there are other groups that are talking about the more severe side effects. So when we lose weight too quickly, we have an increased risk of gallstones. When all of these medications have the potential to cause pancreatitis, necrotizing pancreatitis, which is deadly. It's a very small population, percent of the population that gets that, but that there is a small population that is going to get it and it's going to kill them. So every person that takes this medication and any medication really should be weighing the risks and the benefits. So if I want to lose 20 pounds before, and I'm married, so I'm just saying, if I wanted to lose 20 pounds, say before my wedding, to get into my wedding dress or whatever, but the risk is that I could potentially get pancreatitis and die, is it worth that? Now, if you're in a situation where you're so far overweight that it's going to shorten your life, absolutely the benefit outweighs the risk. But for people that just need to lose a few pounds, I just want them to be aware that this is a short-term solution with potentially long-term problems.
Yeah. And both you and I are very well versed in some alternatives that we, you know, some healthy alternatives to these injections, which is, you know, they're doing so much science. This might blow some people's mind, but there's a strain of probiotic that you and I both are aware of that helps you in very similar ways to these injections, you know. So it's just, have you looked at alternatives that maybe you weren't even aware of? I guess for those of you that are looking at this as like a short-term fix, like, okay, I just want to lose this 25 pounds and then I'm going to go to the gym and I'm going to feel better. But what if you lose that weight and you don't feel better because you did it in a way that did not nurture your body, serve your body, empower your body, and losing it in a healthy way? I think, again, people that are severely obese, like maybe losing 5 to 6 pounds a week is going to work for them for a little while. But for a, you know, on an average, 1 to 2 pounds a week is the healthy way to do it. And yeah. So, and just always remember to, like, this is kind of a side note, but remember, if you are doing it in a way that you're, you know, putting muscle on, always remember it's going to weigh more than fat. So are we doing measurements? Are we, you know, basing off of, are we losing fat versus are we just losing weight? Because that doesn't necessarily mean we're losing healthy weight, like I stated before. So
subscribe to our podcast for weekly episodes where we'll bring you unfiltered and unbiased information about all things health, from debunking common myths and misconceptions to sharing insider knowledge on pharmaceuticals and the most innovative nutraceuticals and alternative therapies on the planet. We've got you covered. In the patient populations that have been studied in the diabetes population, there have been a lot of benefits shown with these medications. But what we're going to see is that because the drug companies are charging $2,000 a month for these medications, they're going to keep doing research to find new benefits so that they can get this medication out to more people. So what they're going to end up doing is, I hate to even say it, but ultimately, I think it's going to be like a statin. You know, now there are guidelines that say if your cholesterol is this much, you should be on a statin. If you have this much risk of cardiovascular disease, you should be on a statin. What I see is that in the future that we might have guidelines that say, if your cholesterol is this much, if your sugar is this much, if your, you know, whatever, your cardiovascular risk is this much, then you should be on a GLP-1 agonist, and it could become kind of a standard. But our body makes GLP-1. GLP-1 has benefits. Our body makes that when we eat. And like you said, there are probiotics and then there are different supplements that we can use in order to make more GLP-1 naturally without using a synthetic product. Because these synthetic products are so much stronger and they stick around in our body longer, they sort of overpower our body's natural processes. And so the European Union has really kind of blown the whistle on these, some of the side effects from this. I mentioned pancreatitis, which we've known about for years because of it being used in diabetes. But because we're really using this in a much broader population now, one of the things that we're seeing is an increased risk of depression, even an increased risk of suicidal thoughts and actions in some people. And I've had people ask me, what are your thoughts about this? And, you know, how do you think, like, what do you think the mechanism is for that? And I can only speculate because we don't know yet. But if you, these medications have been shown to be beneficial in helping people quit alcohol, to help people stop using illicit drugs. Any medication that makes you lose interest in a drug, alcohol, eating, if we push that too far, it's going to make you lose interest in life. So we don't really understand why these medications make you lose interest in these things yet. We don't understand because they aren't just working in the GI tract. They're working in the brain in some way that we don't yet understand. But if they can make you lose interest in eating, they can make you lose interest in a lot of other things. And so I think we're going to see, as we push these out to more people in the general public, that we're going to start seeing more of these mental health concerns pop up.
Yeah, because that just came out in the last couple of weeks, I think, the whole suicidal ideation. And it makes sense. I'd be interested to know, too, of those people reporting those issues, are those people that maybe don't have as much of the diabetic weight loss needs, and maybe it's just overpowering their system naturally, you know, their natural system so much that, I don't know, it'd be interesting to break it down even further. Like, is it the people that are just taking it for the weight loss, or is it, I don't know, I heard that, but that makes so much sense. Like, if you're losing interest in, you know, at first we think, oh yeah, like not drinking is a good thing, not doing other drugs is a good thing, but then you bring up, you know, like you said, it's speculation, but I'm like, my light bulb went off. Like, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I think that it may be years before we know, and it may not even be something that makes it to the mainstream media. It'll probably be you and me digging around trying to find more information. Other people like us wanting to know, like, whatever happened to this? Did they bury this? Because the truth is that with a medication as expensive as this, they are going to continue to find indications and seek FDA approval for different indications because they want everybody that they can get on it to get on it. So
it's a money maker.
It is. And they're continuing to seek out FDA approval for new indications. And so it's almost like to a much broader degree, like Wellbutrin. Like Wellbutrin is indicated for everything. We use it for weight loss, and we use it for smoking. We use it for depression. We use it for anxiety. Like, it just seems like they're always coming out with a new indication for Wellbutrin. Gabapentin is the same. Maybe not even an indication, but off-label use. Like, well, let's use it for this other thing now. And that's what we're seeing with these medications. And it really is good marketing, and there definitely are some benefits. I'm not saying that there aren't. There definitely are benefits to these medications, but we just don't know what the long-term issues are going to be. And so, like always, we want to just be aware. We want to advocate for ourselves, and you just can't, there's no quick fix. There is no quick fix. You can lose a lot of weight really fast on one of these medications, but like you said, in an unhealthy way where you're losing muscle mass, and you may still be filling your body with the wrong foods. You know, learning how to fuel your body is really a key to longevity. Yeah. It's not just about being skinny or about being in normal body weight, or not even saying, well, not being obese. What is the point of being or looking a certain way if you still don't feel good? So we still need to be feeding our body and fueling our body with the right foods. And we aren't. Most of us are not. Yep. So
true.
We just don't ever want to miss that nutritional piece in any kind of weight loss program or managing diabetes, cardiovascular disease, hypertension, that lifestyle, nutrition, diet, exercise, all of that. Those are all little pieces of the puzzle that we need to include. We just don't need to forget those pieces when we, if we add on a medication.
Can I agree with you more? Well, guys, remember to sign up for our newsletter, because that link is attached to the show notes. So that we're going to give you more information about the hot topic of these GLP agonists. And, again, our sources. And we'd love for you to get that newsletter so you can make sure you're getting all the information, and gives you the opportunity to see it for yourself and know that we're just not talking to you know, making it up or whatever, and give you some sources so you can really do your own research. If these medications are something you're thinking about, definitely take a little time, do a little homework, and just make sure that this is actually the right fit for you. And also we'll share some alternatives, some ideas that we can share with you for some healthier ways to get off some of that fat that you've been craving to get off for a long time, and actually do it in a way that it stays off. So, well, thank you all for being here and, listening to this episode. We're always excited to share information with you. And in the future, we will be definitely looking for your inputs. So we have some topics that our audience is super, super excited about. I think you should be excited about this one, but we look for your feedback in the future as well. So until next time, guys.
Thanks for hanging out with us. Have a great day. subscribe to our newsletter and join our community. We are dedicated to empowering individuals with the most up-to-date information on healthcare, wellness, and patient advocacy.
Plus, as part of our community, you'll have access to exclusive content, expert Q&A sessions, and special promotions.
Ready to take charge of your health? Join the movement for a healthier, more informed you by following us on social media. We're here to give you the raw, uncut truth on healthcare and wellness, and we can't wait to have you join us on our journey. Tune in, subscribe, and let's start revolutionizing the way we think about health together.
See you next week for another episode of The Uncensored Pharmacist. Until then, stay healthy, informed, and uncensored.
You say hi to Miss Rachel.
Hi, Miss Rachel.
Mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.